77. But we've got to live beyond January 77. My own belief is that if Vietnam could stick, you could have a change in mood in the whole of America. A lot of all the wiseacres who had written this whole thing off, they're going to hang their heads in shame. They'll switch on the mood in the country, I think, will change. And it is why I think it's having gone so far is worthwhile. To carry it one step further, and you get a bipartisan policy emerging again. The people who suggested surrender, who suggested giving in, their voices will be silent. In the same way as some of our governments made to look ridiculous, you know, that he would go to hang on and take his prisoners home the moment he's
striving.
But that sort of.
They still be there if you
move. Well, but if South Vietnam sticks, then this whole policy would bring about a complete change in mood. The Americans can't go on just being self-pitying themselves. I mean, they are people with a lot of resilience. The snag is they haven't got patience.
That's right.
But the resilience will come back, and if there had something viable there, then all this would not have been in vain. And then they can see after another 4 years that there is no choice. You are the anchor man on the other side. And however divided the communist world may be between the Soviet Union and China, they're still communists. You can collaborate, you can cooperate in space, but in the oceans of this earth, never mind on firm earth itself, there's going to be competition.
Absolutely. And it's going to be very vigorous.
And a weak America is dangerous for the whole of the non-communist world.
And useless to the communist world.
Yeah?
Yes. Well, they won't take too far this way of the party. What do you see about Japan? You once told me, I was trying to recollect this morning, one of our conversations, I mean, not while we were here, but years ago, you once were talking about the Japanese. You were, I think, somewhat prophetic. When you were saying, you were just analyzing some people, and you said that people with their history, with their ability, are not going to be content with making transistor rail or transistor radios and teaching Asians how to grow rice or something like that.
You see,
now what's going to happen? How do you see the Japanese today?
I think.
Are they going to start playing a role?
You take the difference between the Japanese and the Germans. The Germans haven't asked for recognition as a major power in the United Nations. The Japanese say, well, we ought to be a permanent member of the Security Council. Mm-hmm. They felt that they should have been in Paris for this Paris Agreement. There is this urge on that part.
They do want to play a role.
They do want to play a role, but I would be very unhappy if they were playing a role on their own. I'd much rather they were playing a subsidiary role as part of a Western alliance.
So we should keep them in the Western role,
I think.
Monetarily, economically. We constantly emphasize in our talks with the Europeans that it's vitally important that not be a member. Of course, there's a possibility the Europeans may get together and say to hell with America. That we know that game can be played by some. That wouldn't be useful to them, we think, in the long run. There's also the possibility that the United States and Europeans, we can
first-strike capability. That means for the rest of Asia, an independent Japanese policy on its own, which adds another joker to the pack of cards, which is not a good idea at all. I think far better that the India accommodated and the economy interwoven with Western Europe and America, so that they cannot embark on any adventures. See, what was interesting, looking through these figures, talking to the Banking Institute in Brussels, is that today their trade with Southeast Asia, you know, their trade has become global, and that trade with Southeast Asia is only about 10% of their total world trade. Their imports, Southeast Asia, mainly raw materials and so on. 9% of their exports to manufacture, about 12%. Their main trade, 30%+, nearly one-third is with America. A very small percentage, 2% with Western Europe. And I was telling the Western Europeans, if you want peace and prosperity, and you must have this multilateral sharing of both the opportunities and the burdens. In other words, if you don't give the Japanese the economic opportunities, if you shut them off in tariff wars, out of Europe, out of America, then you have introduced an element of instability, because then they've got to carve out some market for themselves. Far better keeping them enmeshed with the Western economies and giving them an economic place under the sun, and their military role purely as part of a Western security net.
I agree. But even with that 3% of their trade to Western Europe,
the West Europeans are jumping around. Yes.
They've managed to get a $1.3 billion surplus.
Well, but I think
with Western Europe, yeah.
But I think Tanaka is on the level. Right? He will open up his markets. He knows that. He knows that.
To us, that's for sure. Well, it's impossible to be in surplus with every country of the world. They have a $9 billion surplus now. 4.6 with us, 1.3 with Europe. $3 billion the rest of the business.
Well, I know this. I just had my meeting this morning with the bipartisan leadership on our trade legislation. Implicit in it really was that about 80% of it's directly toward our problem with Japan. That's our major problem.
And I think if they know that, then they cut the open up.
Right.
Not to reduce trade, but
we want to
increase it. Yes, but you must begin to buy. They can't.
We have a bet. As a matter of fact, years ago, somebody raised your country in one of them this morning. Apparently, you must be selling us textiles.
That is, one of those canvas shoes or something that they raised.
You're really being very, very tough on some of our people.
You know? This we
introduced
at a time when the British pullout was going to be pretty drastic and dramatic. Anything that will mop up America. But the last thing we want is to be dependent on shoes or textiles, because they are sensitive always to all kinds of border restrictions and domestic problems, whether it's European, whether it's American. And we'd like to move into skill intensive things.
Good. Computers and all that
stuff. Well, no, not computers. This is where the Japanese ought to begin buying instead of trying to
yeah.
make their own.
Yeah.
They ought to begin opening up their markets and buying American computers instead of having a zero order for computers in force.
But you've done well.
I think we've
everybody is so impressed.
case of the
I saw you at that point.
Down in every child. Chinaman's heart or this subconscious, he can berate the Americans as imperialist aggressors and so on, but he knows that the Americans are people with a conscience. He also knows that the Russians have no conscience. So he's really under no illusions about this. Therefore, they're going to play it really, very carefully. They're not going to upset the Russians. Not going to give way or show weakness either. They're digging all these tunnels and so on. You can do your worst. Then you give up the next century to the Americans if you engage us by building up. And I think once they reach this second strike capability, then there is no possibility of reaction. And that's a new phase, and that's a new generation. And that's about as far as we can go.
Well, you look around, if you were sitting in the kingdom at the present time, I mean, from their viewpoint, from their standpoint, and I say this without quoting anybody, but if I were the leader there, I would look around. And I would see 40 or 50 Russian divisions on the border. To the south, I would see India with 500 million people. They have contempt for India. They think they can just mount them. And they're right in terms of what they could do to the military. But nevertheless, India, in their eyes, rapidly becoming a Soviet satellite. Because the Indian arms are there. That's why India and Pakistan get worried so much. They look further around. Southeast Asia is a sort of a mess. That's why their policy in Southeast Asia is probably they would prefer not to have a North Vietnam in charge of the whole business. They would prefer to have, in fact, they talk to us in terms of four Chinese states, right?
Yes.
As the Chinese do. And then they look to the northeast, northwest, east. They see Japan. And despite what Japan is doing at the present time toward peaceful directions, they know and respect the Japanese. They respect them and have reason to have a fear of what they've done. And then they look out straight east, due east, to that wide blue Pacific, and they see America and Hawaii. Now, what friend do they have in that group? Us. I mean, they may not like our system and so forth, and they may, but deep down, I think, well, they have another thing that they must know. You put it in terms of conscience, I think that's true. But I think also they're aware of the fact that this is truly, it's a self-serving statement for anybody in the U.S. to say this. But, and we've got many things that perhaps are wrong, I agree, we've got our hand on them. What we did to Mexico, the acquisition of Texas, the Spanish-American War, and so forth, I mean, there were all nations of them. But in terms of World War I and World War II in Korea and Vietnam, whatever mistakes we have made, it has not been American policy to wage war for the purpose of gaining territory and gaining domination. And I don't believe they think we are a threat to them. I don't believe. Do you think they see us that way?
I think they've seen you that way for a long time.
You do?
They just kept up the rhetoric. They just kept up the chant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something you get hypnotized by. They got to keep it up in order that they don't appear to become revisionists.
Yeah.
But they never believed. I mean, the American record in China as against the European.
That's why they have a real shelters at the moment of maximum hostility for the United States. They have a real the shelter program. It's got to be the Prime Minister's view.
Very good point.
And they built the shelters only when the hostility for the Russians started.
No, they never believed that the world were out to destroy them.
Because our preponderance vis-a-vis them was greater than the Russian ones, and they were more defenseless than the Russians.
We were there too.
But at the same time, I'll add this rider that they don't know what follows.
Yeah, and we don't either. As a matter of fact, we don't know what follows either of Japan or China, right?
So they would want to consolidate as quickly as possible so that any successor to them would pursue this policy. And this policy must mean for them not a dependence on America alone for technology, but a spread between America, the West Europeans, the Japanese. And the West Europeans again a further spin. So that there's always a supply and there's no sudden shock. that has been built into this present leadership, that shock of the way in which the Russians ruthlessly just left plants unfinished in this poor life.
Well, getting to a more important subject, how is your golf? I understand that you're still worried about it.
Well,
handicap, what?
No, it's not very good now. I've got
12, perhaps.
Oh, no, 14, but I.
That's very good, very good. Minus, I haven't played for a moment, about 20. I guess now I was once a 14. But you like it. You play near, you have a place near.
Well, I have a British legacy was a 9-hole golf course around my official residence.
Isn't that great?
So you get a bit of, and it's not so much because it's out in the open.